We very much live in a culture that says that we should stay out of another person's business. And while this is many times true, within our Christian family, we are actually exhorted to do just the opposite, to kind of be in each other's business. We see this reflected in our first reading today. It says, "If I tell the wicked," this is God speaking, "O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you," that's you, "do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his ways, the wicked will die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death." In other words, if somebody's doing something wrong, especially a fellow Christian, we see it, and we don't correct them fraternally with love and charity, then God's going to hold us partly responsible for the wrong thing that they've done. Why? Because we are one body. We are one family. And we owe it to each other to be fraternally corrective. Jesus gives us some advice today on how to do that. He says, number one, go to that person privately. I had a good friend a couple weeks ago who had something bad happen to him at church. And where did he go? To Facebook. And then, you know what the worst part was? I was reading through all the comments that people I know, posted. And oh my gosh, I was just appalled. Now, did the church do something to wrong him? Yes. But he did something wrong by going to everybody else and telling them about it. And you know what that did? That actually led a bunch of other people into sin. Sin begets sin. Evil brings about evil. And when somebody has wronged you, you don't go to everybody else first. You go back to the person who wounded you first. If that doesn't work, then you go and find two or three people to help establish the facts. This is like the modern day intervention, right? When you sit down with somebody, a couple friends, people who love the person who's at fault, and you talk to them about what they're doing and how they need to change. It's not gossip. It's not ganging up on somebody. It's not punishing them. It's doing what St. John Paul II said, and that's sharing the truth in love. Share the truth, but always with love. The third step, he says, is to go to the church. Now, that doesn't mean you need to stand up here in front of the church, and maybe we should start this session where before Mass you can come up and tell everybody about somebody who you have a gripe about, right, within the room. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. It's talking about within the Christian church. If you go to them privately and that doesn't work, if you go and have a little intervention with a couple friends and that doesn't work, then maybe you need to go to the leadership of the church. If it's a problem within altar society, then you go to head of altar society. If it's a problem with the servers, well, then you have to come to me. But you go to the pastor, you go to the church leadership, and you say, you know, we've got this person who is publicly sinning, is doing something wrong, it's leading other people astray. Will you talk to them? A modern-day example of this is when we ask our bishops to actually talk to those, say, Catholic politicians who are publicly supporting things that are against our faith, such as voting for abortion or at least being a tacit approval of it. This is when our bishops call that Catholic in and say, you need to stop. And notice they first do it privately, and then it becomes more public. If all else fails, kick them out, right? No. You know, that's how I originally read this gospel too. It says, treat them as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. And I'm thinking, well, Gentiles aren't too whoopee to a Jew, right? A tax collector's not too whoopee. But how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? He reached out to them. He did confront them with their sin. Think of the woman at the well. She'd been with seven men. Jesus encounters her at the well, and he does confront her. But he first offers her something called living water. He offers her nourishment. And by even talking to her, offers her love. Brothers and sisters, when somebody is complacent and doesn't want to change, when they're stubborn, and after talking to them privately and talking to them with a group of people and even presenting it to the church, they don't want to change, God calls us to evangelize them, to pray for their conversion. You know, I think many of us in the church, especially maybe those of us who have been around a little longer, we think, you know, the church would be so much better if we just kind of cleaned it up, right? We get rid of some of these people that don't want to change. Let's get rid of all the serious sinners. But where do you draw that line? Do you say, okay, well, the people who use the Lord's name in vain, they can stay. But the people that are committing adultery regularly, they must go. And there's a great temptation, and I see this a lot among those who want to be truly orthodox, to cleanse the church. But remember what Paul says in Romans 3:23, that the reality is that we are all sinners, every single one of you. There is a sense in which the person who has committed the most hideous murders stands on the same level as the kid who disobeys their parents. Now, yes, those are two totally different sins. But both require the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so they've both been purchased at the same price. We are all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. Instead, let us do what our readings challenge us to do today, and that is to correct each other with charity. I want you to think of the last time that somebody wronged you. Maybe they said something offensive to you. Maybe they cut in front of you and took your favorite parking spot in the church today. Maybe it was one of your kids getting ready for Mass and they were disobedient. When is the last time that somebody sinned against you? And was it really a sin or just an assumption on your part? Did you handle it privately or take it into the public realm immediately? Were you really pursuing the truth or were you pursuing your own anger, your own vengeance, or your pride which had been hurt? St. Ambrose says that no one heals himself by wounding another. No one heals himself by wounding another. How do we treat a fellow Christian, or anybody else for that matter, who will not repent? Do we choose not to speak to them again? Or do we follow the example of Jesus Christ? Did you treat that person who sinned against you with the same love and generosity that God has loved you with?